Hi, folks. This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 61. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Check out the show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. That's where you can chime in with comments and such. Actually, I've opened up the blog again to where you can comment there too. Either way, doesn't matter. I'll get the message anyway. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. I can barely speak tonight. That's weird. All right, let's get to it. Today, we're going to talk about, well, of course, a bunch of different things, but got some listener feedback, questions I want to address, and some pick reviews. Gonna do the V pick. It's really cool. I've got a bunch of them. Shoot, how many do I have? What, 9, I think? It's really sweet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, very cool. And I'll post some photos of them and a link to the V-Pick website and all that cool stuff. I keep thinking of some different movies that are music related, because as people have been asking about other ones to kind of follow up. And if you're a Beatles fan or would like to see, you know, are interested in kind of the evolution of the recording process through the 60s, and how things drastically changed, and some real innovators. If you're a Beatles fan, the Beatles Anthology would be a great one to see. And a new DVD has just been released, just in time for Christmas, is The Rolling Stones on the Ed Sullivan Show. 6 episodes of the full, and I think it's a full-length episode where you see the old-timey commercials and stuff from the 60s. I would really love to see that. So I wish I would have known about that before I got the request from family members saying, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I'd be like, I don't want that Rolling Stones DVD. That'd be really cool. So anyway, first off, I'm going to address the questions I've gotten from some folks. And this first one is from Chris. And he said started listening to the podcast a few months ago and have been enjoying it. I've worked my way up to about episode 35 or so. And funny thing about Chris is, it's a fellow Hoosier. And kind of had a little bit of information back and forth about, you know, different places to eat in downtown Indy, because I think we both work down there. Well, I know I do. I'm imagining from what he's saying that he does too. And ironically, the company I work for is in a business relationship with the company he works for. So I thought that was really cool. Anyway, he goes on, I'm 39 and picked up the guitar for the first time as a hobby. And a year and a half ago, I can't read, folks. I'm 39 and picked up guitar for the first time as a hobby about a year and a half ago, with my only prior musical experience being the high school marching band. I just play for myself, no gigs, family isn't interested, I'm not very good anyway, but enjoy it enough to generally play at least 4 days a week, usually 6 or 7, for about a half hour or so to an hour. Mainly I find it more enjoyable and productive than watching sitcom after sitcom after sitcom. I know that's not going to make me a pro, especially since I don't have much natural talent for it, but I'm a little frustrated with the open C and F chords. For whatever reason, the shape is awkward for me. I can rarly nail the fretting of the C unless I'm coming from an A minor and only moving one finger. And the F bar chord is almost easier for me than the open F, but open F is more convenient if coming from or going to the C chord. Aside from keeping at it, do you have any suggestions? Another question for you is, when I play through scales, riffs, etc., with more single notes than chords, I often notice the residual sound of open strings that my fingers have left, like the quiet remnants of an unintentional pull-off. I'd chalk it up to sloppy technique, except that even when I slow way down and focus solely on not making that noise, it seems almost unavoidable. I can't pull my finger off the string slowly enough or carefully enough to keep it silent. Am I sloppy or less coordinated than I realize? Do guitarists mute or dampen the strings to silence them? I notice this more going up the scale because going down the scale, it's easy to flatten the fingers out and mute the higher pitched strings. Any comments you'd like to share on this or general good guitar practices would be appreciated by those of us who are beginners. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Chris from Indianapolis. Well, thanks, Chris. I do want to keep up the good work. See what I can do to help you out here. I've said all along that, playing guitar, we're not all going to be pros, and, I'm certainly not. My dream certainly was to become a professional guitar player, and that just never materialized. But hey, look, I've got this crazy guitar podcast going, and I dig it, and I like teaching, and I really enjoy guitar and playing for my family and my kids and stuff like that. And I really like it that you're looking at it like, hey, I play 4 days a week. In the evening for about a half hour to an hour, you know what? You really are going to improve and do fairly well for yourself as a guitar player. Just, for that soul enjoyment, that relaxation, that unwinding whenever you get home from work and you sit down with family or whatever, have dinner and chill out. And instead of the mind-numbing sitcoms and things that just kind of, you're not enriching your life. You're just sitting around watching TV all evening. And I think you're definitely enriching your life with learning guitar and practicing. And there's some sort of, like I said, relaxation that you get from playing guitar and learning things. And that focus, it's just totally different from what I do at work. What I imagine you're doing at work too. Being able to, kind of go into a meditative state, I guess you'd say. It's so relaxing to me sometimes. It's work, but it's a different world and something magic about playing guitar and learning these different songs that we hear on radio or on our iPods and stuff. So let's see. You talk about moving from the C to the F chord. The F chord, that open F chord, is a very difficult chord to really learn for most people. I think the F chord may have been the chord that kept me from playing, taking lessons when I was 7, when I stopped singing. G7 was a stretch for a 7-year-old kid, but, F was just almost nearly impossible. So I do have a student now who has really long fingers, great hands, great guitar hands. I imagine eventually he's going to get the F chord, but really right now, he has a better time making that full bar chord than he does, the open F chord. What I may suggest is go ahead and I know doing that, going from the F bar chord to a C is a bigger step than what it normally would be if it's open, or the A minor to F. Now, let's see. If you're playing A minor and only moving one finger and then barring your index to make the F chord, so it's not like an F major 7, I would do that as much as possible. If you really want to nail that, I would keep going, and I have my guitar again. I really dig having my guitar for these podcasts, so I think just get used to it. I'm going to have my Taylor on my knee and play some stuff, and I'm just going to finger pick through this, like the A minor, and then switching my middle finger down to the G string and the ring finger up to the D and up to the 3rd fret, which makes the root of the F chord, and then laying down my index finger. You know, I totally see that. But I would just keep doing that. As, you know, and one of those things, you know, I've talked about whenever I was a kid, when I was in high school and stuff, I'd sit at, you know, on the couch and watch TV with my dad and my electric guitar on my knee. You could barely hear it. So I would, if there was a figure that I really needed to, you know, get past, you know, to kind of space out, just kind of watch that stupid sitcom or whatever, the movie we were watching, a war movie or whatever, and just do it over and over again until you really have it really smooth. I mean, don't go fast, just get it right. You know, if it takes going, takes that much time, it takes that much time. You know, I don't want you to rush it, I want you to get it right. And then what I would do is start on that F. And then stand your index finger up like an A minor, and go to like you're making an A minor, just move that ring finger up to the C on the, well, it's a third fret on the A string. So then you're going. So I would practice that back and forth and back and forth if you're really wanting to nail that open F. Something you can also do is just go A minor to the F, then the C, then to the F. So then you're, you know, you can do it that way. So you're just going A minor, F, C, F. And I mean, it's, you know, it's not a bad sounding song if you want to. But really, I'd say, you know, going A minor, F, C, G would be the next logical. It'd be a nice resolution to the whole thing to start over again. But, you know, whatever you want to do. But, and like I said, I do have a student who does the F chord, the full bar chord. You know, and if that works for you, I would continue to do that. Something else you might want to do with that full F bar chord is take your index finger off, keep the rest of your fingers on. So this is what that would sound like. I'm not saying that this is the chord you'd play, but okay, that's what the notes that you'd have. And then just take your index finger, instead of having it barred, clear across all six strings, just put it down on the B and the E string on the first fret. So then you're playing almost the full thing without that low E string, and it sounds like this. Anyway, that's kind of my advice. If anybody else has any other, you know, any other listeners would like to chime in and help Chris out with this, you know, go for it. Love to hear from the community on it. I think we all remember having a bit of trouble with the F chord. Yeah, it's just not a fun chord to do. But once you get it, you'll have it. Just try that. I hope that helps. And like I said, you know, I'd love to hear about your progress and everything. Another question for you is, are you taking any guitar lessons? And I'm not selling you on coming in and taking guitar lessons from me or anything like that. I'm just saying, I think it'd be a great idea to be sure that you are taking guitar lessons from someone who would be able to, you know, be face to face with you, give you, you know, real time feedback right there and say, you know what, if you move your finger here, this, that, you know, that, try this, that sort of thing. That kind of guidance is really, really valuable. That's why I strongly suggest, you know, anybody and everybody to take guitar lessons. You know, I I should take a like a one-on-one guitar lesson myself, but I try to learn a lot from some videos and so on and so forth. And I think I pretty much figure things out as a bit. I mean, if it's really something that's way out there that's not in my realm, like if I wanted to learn some jazz stuff, I'd go to or a syncopated finger picking to get beyond to this. Something better than that. It's, you know, I would go to a specialist on that. I would go to someone who really knows that syncopated finger picking, ragtime type blues or jazz. You know, I would go right to them and say, you know, I want to learn and get that face to face feedback. Second question Chris has for me. You're talking about playing scales and riffs and such. And having strings ring open and everything, and you'll find this a lot more with an electric guitar with distortion. It can sound really, really bad. Really need to master that right hand muting technique so that whatever string you're playing, all the rest of them are muted by your palm and your fingertips on your right hand. So say I'm going to play the G string, pretty much the E, A and D are all three muted with my palm, and then the B and E strings are muted with my middle and ring finger on my right hand. So the only string that can play is my G string, and I'm basically the same thing for if I'm playing a B. And you mute all the strings that aren't being played with your right hand. Another thing you can do is with your left hand, mute strings. I mean, anything behind, say I'm playing the D note on the G string. It's the 7th fret on the G string. But I'm going to go down to the 5th fret, the C. Well, my index finger is already there before my ring finger comes off of the fret. Okay, so I hit that note. My index finger is already on the next note on the same string. So when I left off, it just happens. There's no residual sound. There's no intentional. That I think what you may be experiencing too is this. If you're doing the technique that I'm talking about, this. Of course, I'm exaggerating that. But you might need to get your timing better with your picking, okay? Or if you're doing a scale down, I think you said that what'd you say? When you're going up the scale, if you hear it more so going up the scale, are you, okay, going up? Something you may be experiencing without seeing this firsthand and without you being with a guitar instructor right there in front of you, I can't really tell what exactly is going on. If you wanted to videotape it with like your iPhone or whatever and just send me a link to it on YouTube or reply to me on YouTube or whatever, I'd love to see it, and I may be able to help you out there too with both of the issues you're talking about here. But I think I may be able to help out with both of these. Going up the scale, as I'm going, say, 4, 5, 6, 7 on the G string, I'm leaving my index finger on. My index finger's here. Then when I hit with the middle finger on 5, my index finger is still on there, so there's no pull off. So my fingers aren't really coming off the strings. If you watch really experienced, really good guitar players, watch them really closely. Their fingers don't move a whole lot, and they don't move far off the fretboard most of the time. They're not. They're maximizing their energy and efforts so that they're not wasting energy by having their fingers fly off the fingerboard, off the fretboard. My fingers might have moved a little over a half inch off of the fingerboard. when I'm playing that. So Chris, I really hope that helps. I'd love to see a video from you, and please let me know. If you don't share a video with me, or if you get lessons or whatever, I'd love to hear about the progress you make here. All right. Thanks for the question. Sam emails me, and he says, I have been looking for ages to find Metallica-like tone. I was looking for a metal muff, Boss Metal Tone, or Proco Rat 2, and Ibanez Tube Screamer. What model I was thinking of was TS-9 and other pedals to get that sound. I would love a thick sound, not a tinny like some recommended pedals I've heard. I own a Strat with a humbucker in the bridge, which I use almost all the time. All right. Sam, I think you're on the right track, definitely, to have the humbucker in the bridge of your Strat. Now, what kind of humbucker are you using? Is it like an active EMG, like Kirk Hammett would use, or James Hetfield would use, or even a Gibson Burst Bucker? Those are really nice pickups. I think my Les Paul has Sam Shaw pickups in them. He was making pickups for Gibson in the late 70s and mid 80s. So I think that's what's in there. I can't be for sure. It doesn't really matter. I think they all sound really good. And I can, pretty much going directly into my Marshall and maybe a little boost, I can get a really good early Metallica sound. It depends on which era of Metallica you're wanting to nail. I'd say if you're talking about like Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning type Metallica, a good Marshall with a good tube amp, a good Marshall tube amp with a lot of gain would do you very well. Suggested tone settings for this would be the treble knob at about 6, about 1 o'clock, depending on, and kind of fudge with that a little bit. The mid all the way down at 0, maybe on 1. Okay, and then the bass cranked 10 all the way. The presence can be at 5 or 10, either at noon, at 12 o'clock, or all the way up. And the treble and the presence, you kind of mess with those to get it in right. The gain on the amp has to be all the way up. And do the best you can with that. If you're wanting to get the Master of Puppets and Ant Justice for All, and on from there, pretty much a Mesa Boogie is really the way to go. They kind of cornered the market on that new the metal tone, thanks to Metallica. And the same thing goes there. Scoop the mids. You don't need to turn the bass up as much on those, like the dual rectifiers, triple rectifiers. There's so much bass in those amps. They are so awesome, so thick, and just tweak the treble to your liking there. If you plug into one of those with your guitar, you should really get that Metallica tone really pretty quickly and go, oh my, this is amazing. Now, if you're wanting to get it with a pedal, you know, everything kind of has to play in harmony together. And your starting point's pretty much right with a humbucker in the bridge of your Strat or, you know, Les Paul or whatever. Whereas a Strat will have a little bit a little bit more high end, a little bit more treble, whereas a Les Paul will be a little more bassy, a little more bit midi, and of course the SG would be much more dark sounding. But you know, if you can get one of those modded DS1s, it's a Boss DS1 pedal. Those things are really good, and the thing is, you can get one of those used on eBay for around $20, and if you're any good with a soldering iron, replace the LED, and that just doing that can change the tone. I can't believe that you know, it's that simple, but it can be. But then again, there are some other chips that you could put in there and replace and make it so it's not so fizzy or fuzzy. I wouldn't look for a Metallica tone out of a metal muff or maybe the Metal Zone, or a wrap. But the thing is, I would use any one of those pedals to drive my Marshall, my good tube amp, into a heavier overdrive, a thicker overdrive, or a thicker distortion. I don't know that I would want to rely on it exclusively for that distortion, but the my experience, if you look at my and I'll post a link to this on my YouTube page, where I have I do a demo of a Keeley modded DS1. Now, I had a DS1 that I bought on eBay years ago, and I bought it real cheap because somebody just got a kit and put the parts in it, and I honestly could not tell the difference between the two. There's barely a difference. One had that switch on it, that ultra switch. You know, I could have lived with it or without it. It didn't, you know, I kind of liked it a little better with it on, but I was perfectly happy, would have been perfectly happy with, and with the, without an ultra switch on it, like the Keeley has. But I got to tell you that you can find them all over the place on eBay and into a good tube amp with the right EQ setting on both of them, on the pedal and the amp. You should be able to get a pretty good Metallica tone. So I'm going to post a link to my YouTube page where I have the YouTube video, and let you check that out. Hope that helps out. And I think it's a pretty good formula for early Metallica tones. Either, you know, anywhere between. I mean, you just add more bass, I think, if you're going to try to get more of the Master of Puppets and Injustice for All. And the 598 EP, that's Garage Days Re-Revisited, 1987 release. Awesome, awesome tape. Well, it was a tape back then, and some CDs. But anyway, that's the tone when I think about Metallica. The Black Album tone on, I don't think about that. I don't really listen to it. It's no longer Metallica to me, honestly. It's like that never happened. So, but you know, I love early Metallica. They were easily my favorite band all through high school, and you know, a year or so after I graduated high school, the Black Album came out, and I'm like, what is this? And there's some good stuff on there, but it just didn't do it for me. So yeah, Sam, I hope that works out for you. I hope this helps. And I'd love to hear, you know, some progress of what happens, you know, what you do, if you have success, anything you can do to help with that. And anybody who wants to chime in and share with Sam, you know, your thoughts on getting that tone. But I think it really does start with a humbucker, a decent tube amp, and one of those DS modded, the Keeley modded type DS1s, and it doesn't even have to be Keeley modded, really. You can save some money, and they're all over eBay, really. And if you like experimenting with pedals and a soldering gun, you know, you should be able to handle it. You should really be able to do it. Another one from Chris. He says, I dig the guitar playing mixed into your podcast. Pick demos were fun. Examples of songs were fun. Plus, what could be better than chatting about guitars? Chatting about guitars with a guitar right there so you can bust out some licks. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. You know, and I think I'm going to continue to do that unless I'm doing one of those, one of my mobile podcasts on my way to work where I got my iPhone in one hand and the steering wheel in the other, and I'm trying not to wreck. But I've gotten quite a few questions and things, and I want to do these pick demos, so I'm trying to do them here at the home studio, and instead of the mobile podcasting studio that is my granddam GT. So yeah. And if anybody else wants to chime in about hearing guitar and stuff on the podcast, let me know. Right now, I'm just going to continue doing it as much as I can. All right, so then, taking up the first half of the podcast, maybe the half. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through the pick review. But, I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through the pick review, but we'll see. If it takes us up to an hour, it takes us up to an hour. All right, so then, this week, or today, you know, and I don't know when I'm going to publish this, if it's going to be earlier than the last one, if I'm going to start doing these episodes more than once a week. Some of them might be shorter than others, but I think the minimum they're going to be a half hour long. Some of them are going to, I know I've gotten good feedback about the longer episodes, ones that are like an hour long or whatever. I know some of you have some extra long commutes. Some of you have a lot of time in your day while you're working where you can just sit there and listen. And you know, if I can help pass that time for you, man, I'm going to do it. So anyway, let me know. I'm just kind of curious. Would you want to hear me blabber on about guitars more than once a week? And if so, would that be okay if it's like a half hour, like twice a week or three times a week, or 20, 30 minutes every day, every business day, like Monday through Friday, that sort of thing? Let me know. Just kind of curious if you guys could handle that, if you could handle Lauren talking about guitar and playing guitar in your ear a half hour to an hour every single day. So, V-Pick guitar picks. Play better, sound better. Picks built with non-slip technology for guitar, mandolin, and bass. So, yeah, they sent me these picks. I had a good conversation with Vinny from V-Picks, and what a cool guy. Very down to earth, very easy going. I mean, easy to carry on, a conversation with, and I immediately liked the guy. So, and he sent me out this nice little handful of picks, 9 picks, which I'll tell you what those are, and I'll take pictures of all of them together, and came in a nice little plastic bag. It says, never drop your pick again. V-Picks have built-in non-slip technology that we have elevated to an art form. They have an amazing ability to grip your fingers without being sticky or rough. They will not slip or slide around in your hand. Plus, the longer you play them, the more light-handed you become. This helps you become faster and more accurate player. V-Picks, the world's number one guitar pick. That's their plug. And, of course, you can go to vpicks.com, which, of course, I will post a link in the show notes for the V-Picks website. You can check out things there. They have videos there and demos and all sorts of stuff. And I'm sure you can find, I know you can find all kinds of information about them on YouTube videos, people talking about them, demoing them. The really cool thing about them is that when you get hot, your fingers get hot and sweaty, it is just crazy that, I mean, my hand's not even really hot and sweaty. I just took one of these picks and just kind of rubbed my thumb on the side of it, on the flat end of it, and it sticks. It really sticks. I showed my wife this, and it stuck for her, too, and it's just really kind of crazy. So, they sent me this little brochure that has all kinds of information about like what makes V-Picks different thicknesses of V-Picks, pointed versus rounded, and pretty much they show the whole collection. Of course, they show their whole line on their website, too. So, I mean, you can see all this stuff. Some really, really cool picks. One of these is, it actually glows in the dark, which I just think is cool because I'm still a kid, you know? I mean, is it really going to be 2012 or Or is it 1978? You know, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I'm just a little kid. And they make one pick here. It's called Insanity. This is really kind of neat. Players with serious hand injuries have told us that this is the only pick they can use. It's very easy to hold due to the thick design of the V-pick grippage. The Insanity is also a serious practice pick tool. It will teach you to play with a very relaxed hand and wrist and fingers. After playing for a week with this pick, you'll be astounded at how much better your technique will be. Great for gypsy jazz playing. This pick is 1 3/8 from point to point. Typical. Very, very normal size. But it's 11.85 millimeters thick. Okay. So take 11 of your normal picks and stack them up. And that's not even quite, I mean, that's almost as thick as this pick is. Pretty insane. They also make guitar slides, which I did not know. It's kind of interesting. And of course, pouches, leather pouches you can, for that are pick holders, and key ring pick holders, wristband pick holders, and of course, t-shirts and necklaces and earrings and so on and so forth. They are in Modesto, California, and vpicks.com. So without further ado, let's use some picks for crying out loud. Of course, we're going to start off with our good friend, our old friend, our Fender Medium pick. All right. So that's the Fender strumming, and I'm just going to run through a little pentatonic scale with the Fender pick. So that was the Fender pick, a good old buddy. Now the first pick I'm going to bring up here is the V-pick Large ULP, and it is that soft triangled shape with points, sharp points. I'm going to say that it's about the same thickness as the Fender Medium, maybe a little more, about the same pliability, and but you probably know. I'm just gonna play it and let you hear it. Just strum a little bit, pick a little bit, but this is the Large ULP. So it kind of has a sharp tone to it, in my opinion, and you know, the sharp edge of the pick, sharp points. I mean, usually whenever I see that, it just, you know, it automatically tells me that it's going to have a sharp tone to it. So, I mean, it's thinner, pointier, sharp edge. It's going to have a sharper, more trebly tone than a thicker, rounded edge pick. And And of course, it kind of depends on what kind of guitar you're playing on too. Because I mean, if it's a darker sounding guitar, this may be what you need to brighten it up a bit for certain situations. But if it's already a bright guitar, like a Strat or a Tele, or maybe a concert style acoustic, it may just be too much treble, too much high end. But say if you're playing, you know, maybe a jumbo acoustic guitar, really big guitar, or a guitar that has really dark tone woods, like an SG, it may help brighten things up for you. So you just kind of have to check them out. The next pick is red, and it's thick, and it just says V-pick on it. What in the world is that? Let's see. I think this one is a medium pointed. I'm not sure. Small pointed. I think it's a medium pointed. And I'm guessing that this is a 2.75. And it's red. And it's really cool. And it's pointed. But it's really thick. And the edges aren't terribly sharp, but the points are very sharp. So, anyway, here we go. So you can hear how when you strum, when you're strumming hard, it really brightens things up, it really jumps out. But whenever I pick, it has a nice soft attack because it's really thick and it has a rounded edge. So I like this pick. It's a nice pick. So I mean, if you wanted to, I think you can have better dynamic control with a pick like this. And get used to a thick pick. So if I'm holding lightly, it brightens up quite a bit. I'm going to hold it a little tighter. It darkens up a little bit, but it still has a bright attack on the front end. So that was the thick red one. Really cool. Now then, I have another one here. And this is the glow-in-the-dark one. It is called a Screamer. And it's almost 3 millimeters thick. A pointy edge and pointy tips. So check it out. I dig it because it glows in the dark. Now, when I'm picking through things, I think that it almost has a... I think it kind of meets up with that strumming tone a little better, that it's not a big difference between the picking tone and the strumming tone. I think it evens out pretty well. So that was the glow-in-the-dark wonder. Now, this one, this is a special pick. This is a white V pick. It has just a little bit of a edge to the, just, it's not quite rounded, it's not quite pointed sharp on the edge. And of course, the points are rounded off points. And it's It's almost a pearl type of a finish. It's really, really pretty. So here it goes. So you can hear, I really like this pick. It has a dynamic change between if you're picking and then strumming. I like the way it feels. It's not. I think it's a small pick. I think it's a V pick small, and it's just really cool. So it's the white pearly one. It's really cool. And then here's another one of the clear ones, and this is a medium ULR, and it's thin and medium-sized, sharp edges, sharp points. Dig that. That's cool. I like how the picking has more attack and is stronger and really stands out, and the strumming is actually a bit subdued there. Oops, that really stunk. That medium, I kind of like that. Let's see what the large sounds like again. About the same with that. Where I think that, oh, I dropped it. Thing is, it's clear. I don't can't see it. I dropped it not because it's not sticky and because of my guitar playing. I dropped it because I'm clumsy. So, all right, on to the next one. Now, this is a V-Pick Tradition UL. And it's basically that typical heart shape without the, you know, the divot in the middle. The point, the place where you usually pick, you strike the string, is a little more pointy than, say, your standard Fender pick, but it's not like point to a sharp point. Ah, wham. So it's about a medium weight, I would say. And here we go. Thank you. Now, if you started going do 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 do, I don't blame you. I'm not judging. That stunk. Get the picture. It's late and I'm tired and I'm not doing very well. But maybe I should have played that song for all of these because I think you get that you get the picture as well as some strumming. So you hear it back and forth and the comparison about like right when you're playing. Man, I like these picks. So yeah, that's a cool pick. I think I would opt for colored picks though, because they're really pretty clear and everything, but man, I could easily see myself losing one. And then stepping on the pointy one and going, ah. So the next one is a V pick, and I'm guessing it's a V pick. So they're all V picks. I'm wondering if there's like an extra small. Because this is really super small. Isn't it colossal? What's this thing say? This one may be what they call the acoustic pick. Because it's smaller and really thick. It doesn't say it on it, what it is. I'm guessing that's what this next one is. Because I think when you get back in here, these all have names on them and graphics on them. So, here we go. And this one has a nice rounded edge, but really sharp points. It's a thick pick. It's almost 3 millimeters. And it's maybe barely over an inch from point to point. Here it is. This pick doesn't work well for me picking on a guitar, really, because it's so small. I know people use like little jazz picks and stuff on them. I just can't do it. I don't know if it's because my fingers are big or... It's just not comfortable for that. So what I'm going to do is take these little guys. I have 3 little picks here. Look like they'd be really good on a mandolin. So I'm going to play a mandolin for you.
Be right back. Hopefully it's in tune.
Okay. I'm just going to use the Fender medium. Alright, so here's the Fender pick on my mandolin. It's a Morgan Monroe. Not super high end. It's a, what model would this be? Is it say... It is a MMS6, and it's really pretty. It's red. Red sunburst, satin finish, flame back and sides. I really dig this mandolin. I'm not a great mandolin player, so don't expect Chris Teeley here, okay? So I'm just going to do some hacking away at this. Be sure that my levels are good. All right, so just going to do some hacking here. Okay. So that is the Fender medium. See a Fender medium. Now I'm going to go back to that really thick, dinky pick, and we'll do the same thing. Thank you. All right, so that one's, I think it's definitely easier to play the mandolin with a small pick than it is with full size, like a Fender medium type pick. You know, I don't know about a pick this thick. I think maybe more practice with it, I may really, you know, find myself being very happy with it. The next one's a dinky pick too, and it's kind of closer to what I would use for, I guess it's maybe like a jazz pick, but it'd be good for Mando, I think. And it's called the V-Pick Euro, and it has holes cut in it, well, molded in it or whatever for extra grip. And same dealio. Yeah, maybe I'm a little better practiced now, warmed up with this, but maybe this pick is just better for this. I don't know, but I really kind of like this pick. Okay. Yeah, that. So yeah, I like the Euro pick a lot for Mando picking. Now here's another V pick light small. I mean, this is really small. So, and I'm gonna say this. Oh man, this thing is hard too. Does not flex. Very little flex in it. So, same drill on the mandolin. So that's a cool pick too, but I'd say I'm thinking that the V-Pick Euro is probably my baby for the mandolin. I'm thinking that's back to that one. I like how it smoothly rolls off the string. It's kind of a nice warm attack. It's not like fighting the string. It has no bend to it, so it really works fast on the string. If I'm gonna play, yeah, out of tune again. Yeah, I like that Euro pick for it. And once again, here's that really thick V pick. It's really small, no bend to it at all, and it's really super thick and sharp and pointy. And of course, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't play the Chris Teeley pick. If I didn't play the blue chip pick, the Chris Teeley CT55 signature pick from blue chip picks on my mandolin. So I'm gonna grab it and it's a much bigger pick. I don't like using big picks on a mandolin, but you know, well, Chris Teeley does, so (laughs) Not bad. That pick works pretty well. I like it. Oops. Yeah, that surprisingly enough, that worked pretty well. So, that pretty much does it. I'm gonna wrap this baby up. Wow, this may be my longest episode running solo here ever. So now that I'm done with these for the demo, they go in my pick stash. That's my pick stash. But I'll keep the packaging for the V picks separate and hidden away. But keep my stash of cool picks in this in my shaving cream jar, and for easy access, or like whatever I want, just pop it open and go, yeah, I want to play that pick. They're all easily identifiable. So I know this is the guitar podcast, not the mandolin podcast, but I'm sure a lot of you out there probably play the bass and guitar and mandolin, and maybe other stringed instruments too. So it's just, hey, it is what it is, right? All right. So that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on Facebook. If you like what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zoom, please let them know by writing a review. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.